I feel like the atmosphere is right now for God's word. I feel like it's right. Hallelujah. For God's word. Amen. Amen. I do thank God for everyone that has come out today. Amen. I thank God for your prayers, for your support, for your concern. Amen. God is so good. He's awesome, and his people are so wonderful. We glorify him. We think we draw strength from one another. Let me tell you something now. Don't fool yourself. We draw strength from one another. Yeah, we're not in this alone. No, no, no. God has placed people around us. Yes, as instruments or pillars. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, listen, we want to listen. I want to talk about a woman today. Jesus. I'm going to talk about a woman, and this woman's name is Jochebed. I believe we have some spirit, the spirit of Jochebed, in this house. Jochebed. Jochebed. The Bible doesn't say much about Jochebed, but I tell you this. The Holy Spirit will begin to reveal Jochebed to you in a very small passage of Scripture. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's Mother's Day. Amen. This woman, Jochebed, she reminds me of my mother. Hey, listen, let's go to Exodus right quick. Is that okay? Exodus chapter 2. Thank God for my sons. Little Kenny is with me. Hey, I'm right at home. If y'all think I'm going to be something different, you got the wrong brother. I will chew some ice now on you. Come on, somebody. Don't look at me cross-eyed. This brother Kenny. Let me tell you something. Mike told me this was some diet tea. He said, man, you mean this is good stuff. I was like, man, I don't need no diet tea, brother. Brother, this is right. That's right. Yeah, Julius is with me and Josh is with me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, let's get to this word right quick. Amen. I'm not going to be, I'm going to try not, Lord, to be before you long. Praise the Lord, because I know we have some other things on our agenda to do today. But I do want to honor the mothers through this word and encourage mothers through God's word today. Amen. Because mothers are so precious. And a lot of times you feel like you are belittled and forgotten. That's not true. Key portion to the kingdom of God. Key ingredient to the kingdom of God. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Exodus, the second chapter, and we're going to start with verse 4. Somewhere around 1. We'll finish up as the Holy Ghost say so here. Amen. Do you have it?
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to his wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And she said, I'm sorry, and when she could no longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrushes. Excuse me. And tarp, and with slime, and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brinks, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down and washed herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maids to fetch it.
When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Amen? Amen. I'm going to go to, you can sit down. You can sit down. I'm going to go to Numbers, the 26th, right quick. And I want to read this out of Numbers 26, 59, so that we can take you directly to this woman, Jochebed. Amen? Okay. Numbers 26 and 59. It says, and the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt, and she bare unto Aaron and Moses, and Miriam, their sister. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, here is a story that we are probably familiar with, and some may be, some may not be. But the text starts out the condition of God's people. God's people are in a very hostile environment. It just so happens before this child is born, there's a serious decree made for the male children. And that is Pharaoh has pronounced assassination to kill all the male factors. Very hostile situation. But we're going to find out that that hostile environment was called a place of God's promise. Wow. Now, a hostile situation, a place of God's promise. A hostile situation, a place of God's promise. A hostile situation called a place of God's promise. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean a place of God's? Are you telling me all this heartache that we go through and and the hardships and I'm about to ready. It's a place of, yes, it is. See, we got to go back. We're going to go back just a little bit, and we're going to take you to the promises release and the preparation of the promise coming into fulfillment. Okay? Okay, listen. Now, let's go to Genesis right quick. Let's go to Genesis 15 chapter. And this is the Lord appearing to Abraham. At the time, Abraham is considered Abram. Okay? Chapter 15 and verse 12, it says, And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, "Know of the surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Okay? And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance." Now you got to understand something about God. What I love about him is that when God speaks a vision, when he speaks a word to us, he already knows the beginning and the end of it. What's puzzling to us is we only know the beginning of it. And so because you hear a fresh word from God, a lot of times we get very excited because we hear it from the Lord. But we don't understand the preparation that's coming along with this promise. We're rejoicing now, but 6 months from now, after you receive that word, you just might not be rejoicing as much then. Oh boy. Okay. But before this took place, there was a situation in Genesis 12 that God was laying out some information to Abraham. Abram, can I go there? Praise the Lord. Chapter 12 says, "Then the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house." This thing, this didn't just start with Jochebed. This was God's plan, and now you're going to see the fulfillment through this woman. So he says, get out your, go, leave your country, leave your kindred from your father's house, and I'm going to go to a land. I'm going to show you a land I want you to go. He said, listen, he said, I'm going to make you there a great nation. Listen to these promises. I'm going to bless thee. I'm going to make your name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you, and I'm going to curse them that curse you. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Listen to what Abraham did. Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken unto him. I'm going to stop right there. Now, here's the thing. Abraham was a very prosperous father. In a sense, Abraham was loaded. But Sarah had a predicament, or Sarah had a dilemma. Now, Sarah was barren. She was barren. So here's the predicament she's in. Now the Lord is giving Abraham visions of his descendants multiplying and he being a father and of many nations and I'm quite sure that Abraham shared this information with Sarah. And Sarah probably asked him, "We got a problem. Did you mention to him that I'm barren? The next time you have a visitation, you make sure you bring this up. The next time the Lord come to you in a vision, I want you to ask him about this situation concerning me now. Because we've been praying for a long time about my barrenness. And he never mentioned a thing. But now he's talking about you being the father. I just want you to confront him." I believe that happened. I'm going to tell you why I believe that happened. Because when the Lord had this next visitation with Abraham, watch the first thing Abraham asks. Let's go back, and then we got to go back. We got to go back to 15. Let's go back to 15 for a minute. Let's go back to 15. Okay, where is it at? Lord, help me, Jesus. Where is it at? Where is it at, Father? Was it 15? Okay, listen. I'm trying to find out where it's at. Is it verse 2? Praise the Lord. Verse 2. After these things, the word, listen at this. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Now, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I'm going to bless you." Listen to what Abraham says. The first thing Abraham says to the Lord, "Lord, what wilt thou give me? You are aware that I go childless." I think what Abraham is doing here, I think Abraham is releasing a little like silent disgust. I believe Abraham is releasing a little silent frustration over prayers that has gone unanswered. So he y'all act like when we get before the Lord, we fail to question God and say, "You're supposed to be blessing me, but look at the state that my wife is in, and we've been praying for a long time, Lord. Now you see the situation I'm in." This is the first thing he asks the Lord. I believe Sarah had a little something to do with that. I believe Sarah had a little something to say with that. But the Lord had an answer. The Lord had an answer. Because what Sarah had to, we say it as it being small, but it was something as almost a curse or reproach on a woman that was barrenness. She bared that. It was, if she was barren, it was almost like God cursed her. And so Sarah, even though she was rich and prosperous, I believe that there was a longing and a loneliness about her. I believe that there was a confidence. I believe her confidence was shaken because she couldn't give her husband a male figure or any kind of a child. And she was looked down upon. She was like a disgrace. See, we can have a whole lot of things, but then there is a desire that you carry that you may not want to share with somebody, but God knows. It's that secret thing that only you and God knows about, and it's so devastating to you, and you say, Lord, I've been waiting on this. Some of you may not be barren in your fertility, but you may be barren in other areas. Barren is a state of desolation. It's nothing. But I'm learning a desolate place is a good place for God, because he can take nothing and deposit. He don't have to worry about moving nothing out the way. He don't have to worry about chopping up fertile ground. Nothing is there. So he can just deposit right into a burnness. So I say to you, a burn place is a good place. It's ready for deposit. Good God Almighty. You thinking that you're lonely now because of what you're going through. Because you're lack. But God sees all of that. And he's ready to plant good seed in an area that your capabilities cannot even touch. Yeah. Yeah. So God sees all this. God already knows the beginning for the end. He already knew about Isaac and Jacob was coming down the pipe, even though they were old folks. Hello. And so Sarah thinking, man, this can't be possible. I'm an old woman. He's an old man. Ain't nothing happening here. Huh? But look at all the women that had a situation like that. Rebecca was barren. Rachel was barren. Hannah was barren. Elizabeth was barren. All these women had two things in common. They were barren, and they were women of God. And all of them received the same reward. The Lord honored them, and each one of those women bared a child. I mean, you have to go back and understand that this was something devastating to a woman if she couldn't bear a child. So now, you know, Abraham is in a predicament. And a predicament is a very difficult, unpleasant, even embarrassing situation. It can even be a dangerous situation, a predicament. We know about predicaments, don't we? I do. And then you can hear me talk about these two words, a dilemma and a predicament. And she was in a dilemma too. And a dilemma is a problem that seems incapable of a solution. A dilemma. Okay? So now here we travel to see that the Lord has already spoke to Abram and let him know that Exodus is coming. Jacobite is coming. He cannot see this, but it's coming. It's in the plan. So you know the story of Abraham. So we understand that because God has spoken, this becomes a place of promise. God said it, and it's going to happen. Whatever the Lord releases, you can best for sure believe that it's going to happen. Yes, Now, I'm going to say this before I go, before I had this down in the notes, but I want to share it right now. Don't get lost in God's time, because God's time will produce God's deliverance. Now, you get lost in God's time, you'll never walk into God's promise. Because you got lost in time and start thinking that God has forgotten all about your situation. But see, God, he's not a man like us that he should lie. Whatever he says, he will do. He will do. He will do. So then we go on, and so we find out that the Lord's promise was fulfilled through Abram and Sarah, and they bear the child. Yeah, old age, they still bear the child. Yeah, they had some complications there where Sarah felt like she needed to assist God. They had a situation, and we look at that, and we're like, how in the world could she do that? The same way that we try to assist God when we seem like this is an impossible thing, and my idea will assist this, and it seems like logically this will work. This will work. We can say, I trust the Lord, yeah, but we have an idea. In a crisis, we still have an idea. And we say we trust the Lord, and seem like our idea is greater than God's promise. So what do we lean to? A lot of times we'll lean to that idea and think that we're going to get deliverance from our idea. Sarah thought she was going to get deliverance from her idea. She was thinking all wrong. Just like some of us, thinking all wrong. Hello. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So now, see, here comes Jacob. Oh, man. Jacob, we know the story of Jacob. Jacob, I don't want to go too deep with Jacob because we got to get to Jacob. But Jacob was something. He was something, but he was God's man. He was God. He was God's promise to Abraham. But make a long story short, we're gonna take a leap. Jacob had a son, Joseph. Joseph, we know the story of Joseph. Joseph and his brothers, they were very envious of Joseph, and they tried to kill Joseph. Threw Joseph in a pit. Tried to make like, you know, they wanted to kill him, but Reuben stepped in on that one. And so they went back and told the dad that Wild Adam and messed up your boy Joseph. Brothers killing or trying to kill brothers. Hey, one thing about it, it's nothing new under the sun. Hey, Reese. That's my other sister. And Big Kid. So you have Joseph. It's something about Egypt. God just wanted to use Egypt for his platform of preparation. Because here comes Joseph now, and Joseph finds himself being sold into slavery to the Egyptians. But Joseph now becomes the place of preparation. That place of preparation turns into a place of prosperity. So our places of preparation, I say to you, don't be afraid of the places of preparation. They are here to prepare us for success. Some people, some of us won't make it to prosperity because we cannot endure the preparation. We faint in the preparation process. I remember when Josh was in the service, and he would tell me, Pop, you know what? There's some strange people up here because you got folks trying to jump down the stairs to break their legs and doing all kind of things to try to get out boot camp because they couldn't handle the preparation. And so they were break the leg and try to do some damage to themselves so they could be released because it was too harsh. You know, and we frown and say, my God. Well, in a sense, that's how it is with the body of Christ at times. When God has us in a furnace of preparation, it's a hard place. Oh, my God, it's a hard place. And we do things at times to try to abort the mission. We do things we try to do sometimes to cancel the plan. And it's too much for me. I was having a better time when I was out there shooting some dice on the corner and drinking a fifth with some of my homeboys. I was having a better time than this. All this suffering. Ain't nobody tell me I was going to go through all this suffering. All this denial. I got to deny myself. I can't do what I want to do. I got to deny. You didn't tell me about all that. You didn't tell me I was going to have to wait on this man. You didn't tell me I was going to be made mockery just by my waiting. You didn't tell me how embarrassing it would that it would look by me standing firm in the faith and trusting God. You didn't tell me how people would mock me because of the name of Christ. You didn't tell me about all of this. Faith puts you out there on an island and everybody's pointing their finger looking at you crazy. See that boy right there? That boy crazy. See that one right there? That woman crazy. She trusting in something that she can't even see? That woman's crazy. What's up, Corey? That's my man. So people think that you're crazy. I'm telling you, when you step out on faith, some of us can't go through it. And I encourage you, don't faint in your preparation. Amen. Don't faint in your preparation. Go through the training. Go through that course. Finish that fight. Then you will reach God's ultimate prize. There is a reward at the end. But you have to go through to get to it. Yeah. So now Joseph is a wonderful example of that. Joseph, when he had this dream, he was so excited. He never dreamed he would have to go through this journey of life, a preparation before he received and the fulfillment of that dream came to pass. It's so exciting when we get a word from the Lord. Let me tell you what the Lord showed me. Oh, God, let me tell you what he said to me. He said he was going to make my brothers bow. Can you believe that? Yeah, but he didn't tell you you're going to be thrown in a cave. He didn't tell me you're going to be locked up in a dungeon. He didn't tell me that you're going to almost lose your life in the process. God be scaling us back. All those old dry skin, he scales us back. And make us fit for the kingdom. He scrapes us off. He's like sandpaper on a rough course. Till you get to that smooth surface. That's my son now. I had to do a little work on him. Keep him on the wheel. But now that's my son. See? Don't faint. Don't faint. Don't faint. It is a challenge at times to hold fast to your faith. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Joseph endured. He endured. And he was able to walk into the blessings that the Lord had already prepared. Mm-hmm. So now he's inviting his father and them, you know. Jacob finds out that this his son is not killed and his brothers are forgiven and Joseph never held anything against his brothers. And then we find out that now he's sending for his father. Mm-hmm. He's sending for his father. Now, God stamps another prophetic on Jacob in regard to Egypt. Jacob is a little kind of, he's probably kind of fearful and excited because Abraham was his father. And I'm quite sure Abraham shared with him the things that God shared with Abraham in regard to when you, that your people were going to serve and be in bondage for 400 years. So he probably shared this thing with Jacob. And Jacob is at this point, he's so excited. But then Jacob is probably wrestling with a little fear of that promise. But the Lord appears to Jacob in a vision. And he comforts his heart. He tells him, fear not. This is what I love about him. He said, I will go down with you to Egypt. Then he tells him a strong prophetic. He said, and I will bring you up again. It's so good to know that when we go down, God goes down with us. We're not going down alone. When we go down in the valley and the shadow of death, the Lord is with us. And he's with us to do one thing, to glorify his strength to bring us out. Now listen. You're going to be made mockery when you're down because some people love to see you down. Some people love to see you down. You okay, you know, why you equal with them. But let me tell you something, don't get no more than that person because it's a problem. It's a problem. So you know, when they start seeing you go down, they shouting, praising the Lord. But some people, not all, some people are jumping and shouting because you going down. And they're praising God, counterfeiting that they're praising God, but they're glad that you're going down. I ain't trying to put them out of the bus, but I'm telling you right now, I saw that one coming. I showed so that one coming. Mm-hmm. Then they start trying to sum up why you're down. Where they down, you know what they don't, you know, God dealing with them. Mm-hmm. They getting that mess back now. Yeah, they getting that mess back. Look at them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know? God told us don't even rejoice when our enemies fall. And we pick it up, and we pick it up. We start be rejoicing because our brother is in a pit. But I remember what David said when David was in a pit. He said, "The Lord delivered me out of this horrible pit, set my feet on a firm foundation." That's what my God did. He went down with me and he brought me back up. So he's telling Jacob, I'm going down to Egypt with you. But don't you fear. It's all a part of my plan. It's all part of my plan. I'm going to bring you up again. And then when I bring you out, you're going to leave that place loaded. This is what he told Jacob. He said, your people are going to leave that place full of wealth. So now the tables are starting to roll now. The plan of God is rolling. Now Jacob and Joseph dies off the scene. And all that generation now, you know, the good time is over. Because here's another Pharaoh. Pharaoh now don't know Joseph. And here's what I see. See, the fulfillment is about the birth. The fulfillment being birth is what caused the hostility. God's promise coming into fruition, all havoc starts fighting against it. See, because Pharaoh's preparation was to ruin the Israelites. God's plan was for salvation to enter in. So here comes. Every time that the blessing of the Lord is about to break through, look for a hostile environment. The hostility came because God had already told his forefathers
I'm going to multiply. I'm going to make you a nation in there. This is starting to happen. So Pharaoh sees this, and first thing the devil is thinking, wait a minute, now these folks are going to overtake us. So we got to do something. So now Pharaoh is saying, I tell you what, let's have a meeting, and this is what we're going to do. He had a conversation with the midwives first. He told the midwives, listen, when you are delivering, assisting in bringing forth these children, the young women, the young girls, they can live. But the young men, you kill them. Young babies. So thank God for these women of faith. These midwives should teach us something. Their disobedience illustrates the importance that we should obey all the laws of the land, except when they violate God's moral laws. These women, I love the bottom. You know what I love the bottom? And I'm praying the Lord, this is what we got to get. They were bold in what they done. They knew that it was a decree sent out, and they were ordered to do this. But that did not stop them from sacrificing their life to obey God. The word of God says it's better to obey God rather than man. Who are you servants to? So these women wouldn't do it. They said, listen, these women are not like us. These women are not like these Egyptian women. These babies popping out here. We ain't got time. They coming out here too fast. Something about these women. Good Lord. So in a sense, they were sparing these kids' lives. But before the breakthrough, dilemmas heighten. Dilemmas have levels. Predicaments have levels. The first level might not be as intense. It might have you to, you know, buckle a little bit, you know, look up a little bit, you know, sometimes read a dilemma, sometimes study a little dilemma. You know, it'll sometimes cause you to testify, a little dilemma. It'll sometimes cause you to seek God's face early in the morning, a little dilemma. Yeah. That's a little dilemma. You know, you in and you out. I don't really need to stay in his presence that long. This is a little fix. This is a small fix. I ain't got to stay too long here at his feet. You know, this is a little small thing, you know. But now Pharaoh has released a high decree. And that is, he's going to kill every male factor that's born. He's going to take this upon himself. He's going to send servants to slaughter. Now this places Jochebed in a serious situation. Now, I believe this. I believe that Jochebed had a little fight in her. I believe Jochebed sure had some fight in her. You know why I say Jochebed had some fight? Because she was from the lineage of Levi. Y'all remember Levi? I'm going to help you. Levi had, Jacob had some sons. Simeon and Levi, them boys was ruthless. They had a sister. And that sister got raped. Dude found out he loved this woman after he raped her. Then he said, I got to go, you know, come on, Dad. This is the woman I want. I want this one right here. Word got back to them brothers. The word got back to them brothers.
And they start, the man started telling them, listen, whatever you ask, we'll give it to you. We'll give it to you. But my son wants your daughter. Man, Levi and Simeon had another plan. They stepped in and they said, I tell you what, whoa. This ain't going to work, man. First of all, this ain't going to work because it's going to defile our God if we interact with you guys because you guys aren't circumcised. So Levi and Simeon use a holy thing to do damage. Yeah, Levi with them boys was ruthless. So he says, I tell you what to do. We'll do whatever you ask us to do if you circumcise every male in the city, then we'll share everything. We'll blend right on in with you. Man took it back to the council. Folks was applauding. Yeah, this is going to work. Men was walking out of, yeah, we're going to circumcise, get circumcised. Grown men getting circumcised. Grown men get circumcised. They did. Boy, them boys waited. Them boys waited until they got good and were still hurting. Bible say 3 days. Simeon and Levi went in there with the swords. Lit them up. Them brothers was weak. Couldn't fight. They were broke down. They were hurting. They couldn't do anything, but, you know. They couldn't go nowhere. And the boys came through there, wah, tearing up the whole city. They revenged their sisters, their situation with their sisters. Now Jacob wasn't pleased with that at all. And he announced that at his death. So I believe Jacobit has some fight in her. I believe she's coming from this lineage. She got some fight in her. It's good to have some fight in her. But here's the thing. Jacobit now is faced with a dilemma. She has a serious dilemma. Now, here's what a dilemma going to do for us. A dilemma immediately causes us to become seekers. Your dilemma, my dilemma, turns us into seekers. Your dilemma, my dilemma, turns you into a seeker. Now, whose face are you seeking in your dilemma? Because in a dilemma, it's incapable solution. It's an unpleasant event. And we're looking out to any source that seemed to be stable for assistance, for help, for guidance, for comfort. And sometimes we're reaching for the wrong source. As soon as something happens, whose face are we looking to? Are we looking up or are we looking here? I got news for you. Some things God going to put you in, your resources are not going to be adequate for you. I got a news flash for you. You think you got some money in the bank? God can wipe that out. And then he'll put you in a place where nobody can assist you but God. He'll put you on an island where nobody exists but God. And you're forced then to break those knees. You know why? Because now this dilemma is the high dilemma. This dilemma now causes you to spend time with God. This dilemma breaks you down. It breaks areas that God has been asking you to willfully give to him, and you were withholding some things. But a dilemma knows how to break every stubborn bone in your body to where you only can fall on your knees and cry out, Lord, help me. That's the dilemma that Jacobit is in. dilemma. Now, let me say this. When we go through our dilemma, if we seek God, we seek God's guidance. God told me this. He said, when you seek my guidance, and my guidance speaks to you, my guidance is then supported by my strength. When you seek God for assistance, can I tell you this? He is well capable. He has ample strength to bring you out. What? Isaiah 48. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. Listen to this. Which leadeth thee by the way that thou should go with. That's Isaiah. Isaiah backs it up again in Isaiah 58 and 11. He says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drouth, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like the spring of water whose water fail not. See, I like what Isaiah said, because he said, I'm going to make the bones fat. When you start seeking other guidance outside the guidance of God, something happens to our physical state. Yeah. Our pressure goes up. I can't eat like I used to, Pastor, when I'm seeking earthly assistance. My appetite changes. I start dropping off, and actually I just start fading and withering away like a dried up rose. But the Lord says, not so with me and my guidance. My guidance will satisfy you in a time of drought. It will fatten your bones. It put meat on your bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden. Hallelujah, God. Yeah. He said, and then he says over here, and then David picked up, he said, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our God even unto death. He backs it up again. David said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou should go. I will guide thee with my eyes. This is the Lord's guidance. It supersedes any other guidance. It's stronger than any other guidance. This is the guidance that Jochebed seeked after. She was a woman of faith. She was a woman that was courageous. Jochebed had a little fight in her. And Jochebed stood her grounds. And here's the strength that comes along with it. Here's the strength. The Lord is my strength and my shield. When the counsel is relief, the strength of God is supporting it. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him. I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoiced. And with my song will I praise thee. That's Psalms 28 and 7. Isaiah backs it up again. He said, trust ye in the Lord forever. For the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. Good God Almighty. Yeah. Then Isaiah said this. He said, fear not, for the Lord, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand and with my righteousness. So God is well capable of his strength is well capable of sustaining us when we go through the valley in the shadow of death. But we have to yield ourselves to his authority. So here comes Jochebed. Jochebed comes in, and the man saying, you think she's in a serious dilemma, because for 3 months you have searchers coming in this house seeking out male factors only to take them out and throw them into the river. crocodiles and watched your child get eaten alive, watch your child drown, and you're paralyzed. There's nothing you can do but sit there and watch your child. A dilemma this woman was in. A dilemma. Seeing your child tore apart by the jaws of a crocodile. See your child trying to fight to stay afloat, drowning. And there's nothing you can do. Jacobia said, my child is not going to experience this. I understand the decree, but I got a God that's higher than this Pharaoh. So for 3 months, do you know the pressure that this woman was under for 3 months? 24-hour span, not even knowing at any time of the day somebody could come in there. Not only take her child, but take her life. Her life is on the line for 3 months straight. Don't know if she gonna, if when she wake up, she don't know what's going to happen. She might be afraid to go to sleep. And I know, I believe this. I believe that there were times the servants came in there and Jacobia had to look up to her God and say, God, they're here. They're here, God. But I'm trusting you to blind their eyes so they don't see where my child is at. And she stands there, you know, with no fear on her face and no giveaway because God is her strength. She's not bowing. She's not afraid when the enemy comes in upon her like a flood. The Lord will lift up a standard for her. So Jacobia is staying strong even in the midst of the enemy coming in trying to harass her people. And she stands there and she said, look all you want. Look all you want. And her God is her anchor, her strength. And when they left, she said, thank you, Jesus. Ooh, that was a close call. They almost got him. This is week in, week out. For 3 months, she had to go through this, Pastor. Something must have capped off. And Jacobia said, I can't do it no more. I got to see God's face. Something about the love of a mother. This woman reminded me so much of my mother that would sacrifice herself for the betterment of her kids. Nothing was too much for her to give for her kids. I believe that we have the spirit of Jacobia in this house. I believe that there are mothers in here right now that will sacrifice their life for their kids. I say to you today that you are very much important. This woman was protecting a whole nation. She didn't have a clue. A whole nation resting in the birth of this man. This is God's man. But God has a plan. See? And so Jacob said, wait a minute, we gotta do something. Lord, you are my strength. I'm encouraged. Jacobia says, let's prepare a basket. I can't hide him. I can't hide this child any longer. But I believe the Lord was giving wisdom. I believe the Lord was feeding wisdom to Jacobia because Jacobia is a woman of faith. Jacobia wasn't looking to other sources to get answers. She was looking to God, and God was feeding her information. Prepare a basket. Isn't faith wonderful when it's obeyed? It's only then when we see the miraculous acts of God. Oh, I want to see the miraculous act of God. You got to believe, honey. I want to see something happen. You got to believe. This woman believed. The Lord told her what to do. She started preparing this little basket. Put and dress up little Moses. She don't know if this is her last time looking down on her son. And she's thanking God all the way. This woman is in a dilemma. She has a dilemma. A situation that's impossible for a solution with man hands. Okay, so now she puts Jacobia in the basket, sends out and has the daughter to watch her. Has the daughter. Miriam watches,
as she floats. God has one of Pharaoh's daughters out there bathing. This is not a coincidence. This is God intervention. This is not just a lucky day. This is not just a lucky day for Moses. This is not just a coincidence. This is God ordained. God has Pharaoh's daughter right there as an agent to receive this child. Man, look at how good God is. After she gets this child, she says, wow, this is a Hebrew child. Maybe we need to find a Hebrew mother that can nurse this child. Here comes Jochebed. Jochebed now is about to fall right in place, nurse her child Moses for some more time. More time to rock Christ in him. More time to sing praises of Jehovah. And I know she's singing, there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Every time she looks at that child, there's no God like Jehovah. I don't have to worry about the people coming in. There's no God like Jehovah. I'm getting paid to nurse my child. There's no God like Jehovah. She's dancing. There's no God like Jehovah. I'm getting paid for my child. Look at God. See the plan of God? Let me tell you something. God's promise is like an unstoppable missile. Man can't stop it. They can't shoot it down. They can't prepare. All you have to do is prepare for impact. Because there's nothing you can do to cease it. It's going to reach its destination. All of this fell right in place. So I say this to you. I say this to the mothers out here. Even to the single mothers. Single parents. Hurting mothers. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. And I say to you, don't abandon the plan. Don't abandon this plan. Because you don't know where that plan is going to take you. There's a prosperous end. If you just endure it, there's a prosperous end to your beginning. You know? You have mothers out here struggling by themselves, trying to do it all by themselves. I say to that mother, don't try to be father and mother. Just be mother. Don't try to fill the shoes of somebody that you're not. Just be that God-fearing mother. And I tell you what, when you get in position, God will put other people in position to father that person, to mentor that child, to take up the slack. When he see you in position, that puts God in position to work. See? So I say to those single mothers, be strong. Be courageous. Your God has not forsaken you. You're not alone. Don't allow your confidence level to be shattered. Your loneliness, away with. God is for you. He is supporting you. He is your strength and your salvation. Amen. Amen. And I say to you in closing, I love you, mothers. You are jewels. You have birthed preachers. You have birthed evangelists. You have birthed apostles. You have sent out men of God, women of God. You have prepared the way. You have sacrificed. You have labored. It's nothing easy about being a mother. Nothing. There's no love. And I used to question this. But there is no love like a mother's love. mother love goes deep. Where's my baby? How's my child? I just want to hear his voice. I want to make sure that he's doing okay. I want what's best for him. She gets up early in the morning and prepares when you're still resting. You'll find her praying in a secret place. And if you walk by, you'll hear your name called out. A mother's love always praying for her children. A mother's love sacrifice her life. Ashamed of her kids. Kids could be doing some crazy mischief. But a mother's love will say, that's my son. That's my boy. That's my girl. That's a mother's love. She's not quick to throw away her children. Jesus. You can talk about her, but you can't diss her children. That's a mistake. She allowed people. She can take the criticism. She can take the rebuke, but she can't take when someone dogs her children. You crossed the line now. You messing with one of my kids. That's a mother's love. Runs deep. It runs deep. Always there to crutch and to aid. I'm not trying to be little to fathers. We have a place. We have a place. We have a strong place. But today I'm honoring the mothers. It's not about us today. It's about the mothers. Mothers indeed. Sacrifices that a mother gives for her kids. Pressing. Washing. Cooking. Mentoring. Honoring. There's a time and a season for everything. And if you just endure hardness as a good soldier, and you say, Lord, when you gonna just mend this pain, assist this pain, he'll do it. He won't leave you and abandon you in a time of trouble. You have a child and you're struggling mothering that child. I say to you this: give that struggle to God. Seek God's wisdom in how to handle that situation. Situation, his response will challenge you. But I say to you, yield to it. Yield to it. You want to see the hand of God?
I know your love, a mother's love is so great that sometimes it's hard to give that child completely to God. Jochebed did. She did. She pushed Moses out there. She said, Lord, he's in your hands. You got him. You got him now. He's in your hands. I followed your orders. I've released him. Sorrow is here. No sorrow in heaven. So I say to you, mothers, stand tall. Be encouraged. Maintain your integrity. Hold fast to the promises of God. They are sure. Glory to God. Glory to God. Today, go and enjoy yourself. You have a mother, you love her. Don't disrespect her. Honor her. Feed her. Take her out. Show how much you appreciate her. Yeah. Yeah. I can't. You know what? I'll sow into other mothers. I'll attach myself to other mothers. And I'll call them mom. Glory to God. Don't make small of your situation. We don't hold time in our hands. If you had told me, and I'm closing, if you had told me last year at this time that I would be motherless, I'd have told you, man, you'd have bumped your head. I say, make good of the time. Comfort her. Make good of the time. You know something I found out about a mother? She don't need all the big things in life. If she could just hear her son's voice, if she could just hug her daughter, if her daughter could just come up to her and say, Mama, thanks for the sacrifices. If her son would just go up to her and say, Mama, I love you. That's all the mother, that's her reward. That's her reward. Give it to Jesus. That hurt, that pain, give it to him. I know everything ain't well with situations with kids. I know it's not. It's not well in our eyesight. But can I tell you this? It's well in God's eyes. He's saying to you, I got him. I saddle yourself. I got him. Give him to me. Are you willing to give him to me? Can you trust him with me? Give him to me. Give her to me. I can handle her. I can fix her. Just give her to me. I can't fix that person while you still holding on to that person because you haven't surrendered. But if you release him, if you release her, I can fix her. Now, the course of that release, it's painful because you may have to see that child go through the preparation and it's not pretty. And it could break a mother's heart, but your confidence in God. You look down on and say, God got him. even in a pit, God's got him. God's got him. He's working it for his good. God's got him. That's working for his good. He can't see it right now, but that's working for his good. That's working for his good. Stay right there, Lord. You doing it, Lord. You doing it. That's confidence and faith in God. Then you can sleep at night. You can sleep at night. Staying up half the night, worrying yourself to death. Can't hardly eat. Can't rest. Give it to God. Give it to God, mothers. He can handle it. And all he's doing is waiting. He said, give it to me. Oh, I'll show myself mighty. Just give them to me. Give them to me. Give them to me. You know, that's how I am with a disobedient child. A child that falls all out and kicks all around and doing this, that, that, other. And I'm thinking, well, leave him with me for 6 months. Leave him with me. Leave him with me. Leave him with me. I'll take care of him. Leave him with me. He flipping and tripping and doing everything, hanging from laying you out and doing everything, spitting on you, slapping you, doing everything to you. I ain't doing this. I say, leave that boy with me. That's what the Lord is saying. That's what the Lord is saying. He's saying, leave that child with me. Leave him with me. I got him. I got him. Bless him. Amen. Anybody need prayer before we get ready to close? We got ministers here that...